Please turn with me to John chapter 4. Verse 4. But he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now we're going to be in a story that you know very well, but it's a story where giving is very important. This is a place of giving. Look in Genesis 48. And verse 21. Then Israel, Jacob's name changed, Israel said to Joseph, "Behold, I am dying, but God will be with you and bring you back to the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to you one portion above your brothers, which I took from the hand of the Amorite with my sword and my bow." Now, the plot of ground that Jacob gave to Joseph, he fought for, he conquered. He took it from an Amorite. And because it belonged to him and he conquered, he was able to give. Look now at Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 7. But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. The Lord Jesus conquered in order to give. And we know at the cross, the Lord Jesus conquered the evil one. He conquered death. He conquered sin, that he might give life to us. So when Jesus stops in this strip of land, there's giving already in the surroundings, the whole setting. Is giving. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat there thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. It was hot. It was noontime. Normally the women came to the well around 6-7 o'clock at night. Jesus had to go through Samaria. Now, in your life as a believer, we like to consider that we are led of the Spirit of God to serve the Lord. We have many responsibilities. If we're married, we have a family. We're in business or whatever. We have responsibilities. We want to do that which is pleasing to God. But every so often in our lives, we feel a need, like Lydia, feel a need to go somewhere. She went to Israel. She felt led of God to go somewhere. Sometimes we don't do that. This may not be of God. This may just be something that I want to do. No, not even that. I'm suggesting the Lord Jesus had a purpose in going to Samaria. I'm suggesting that when in our routine of everyday living, we feel led of God to do something, go somewhere, visit someone, don't shluff it off. Don't just say, well, that's nothing. It's just a whimsical. Sometimes we need to go to a place that we don't usually want to go to and visit someone that maybe we don't want to visit. It sounds strange. But God works in mysterious ways to accomplish his purposes. Now, the wonderful thing about this story is it shows the humanness of our Lord Jesus. Comes to this well. Of course, he knows the story very well, what took place. And he's tired. And so he sits on the well, the edge of the well. He's tired. It's hot. Now, in our lives, we like to think that we're able to share the gospel with people, wherever we are. Sometimes we're tired. Sometimes things happen. I was playing golf with a young man. And I got up to the tee, and you know when you get up to the tee, be quiet, don't say anything. I mean, you're concentrating. And I'm just about to hit the ball. He says, wait! What? I want to give a gospel tract to the guy who's sprinkling the lawn. Well, I'm glad he didn't say wait when I started the swing. But I, you know, you're on the golf course, you're there to play golf. Well, not always. And I reflected on what took place there. And I was upset. Stop in my swing so I can give a gospel track. And yet, who did the right thing? Oh, sure, you're playing golf. But you got to be alert to the circumstances around you. So Jesus was wearied from his journey. It was hot. And here comes a woman toward him. A Samaritan. It's bad. They don't have good relationships together, the Jews and the Samaritans. Now notice what Jesus does. Remember I said this is a place of giving. That well was given to Joseph. So Jesus says to the woman, breaks all protocol. He's sitting on the well and she's coming. Give me a drink. You know, in witnessing to people that are hard to reach, sometimes it's a good thing to have them do something they're capable of doing for you. We try to reach a family in the place where we live, and he's a plumber. And so we go out of our way to try, could you do this for, could you fix this pipe for us? Could you, of course we're going to pay for this, but doing something for you can bring people into the open. So he requests this woman to do something for him. Give me a drink. It's amazing, as we think of our Lord Jesus, he created everything. All the fountains, all the oceans, everything. He's weary, he's sitting, but he's thirsty. Now, when we walk with the Lord, we have to be wise in our decisions, careful in what we say. We don't ever want to give the society the thought that we're better. We're in with God, and you too bad you dirty, filthy sinners aren't. But we don't want to give any bad impressions. We want people to accept the Lord that we love, but we don't want to be obnoxious. So he asks a favor. And then John, as he usually does, gives a little footnote, a little thought. Usually those kind of things perhaps would be supplied by his disciples. They give him the water that he needed, but Jesus was alone. I'm always amazed at this story. Jesus is alone, sitting on that well. Where were his disciples? For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Now, I don't know how many disciples Jesus had at this time. If you look at the beginning of the gospel, there were 5 or 6, maybe 7 now. I'm not sure all the 12 were there, but whatever disciples had started to follow the Lord Jesus, all of them left the Lord Jesus to go into Sychar to buy food. I don't know why. But he's left alone. Now, what they did was legitimate, was fine, and we'll leave it for a moment. They're in Sychar getting food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask of drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." All right, we're going to put this on a certain level of awareness. I'm a woman. I'm a Samaritan. And you're asking me for a drink. That doesn't make any sense. Now, his answer is very telling. It should speak volumes to us. If you knew the gift of God, it's a giving situation here. He wanted her to give him a drink. Jacob had given this land to Joseph. If you knew the gift of God, I want you to ponder this for a moment. Many of you are believers, maybe all of you are believers. Praise God for that. There's a world out there, a society out there, does things its way, what they want, how they care for themselves. Maybe some want to be good citizens, but do they know? If they knew the gift of God. I've talked about relatives who don't believe in God, but if they knew the gift of God. Do you get up in the morning and think about your life and your family? Yes, that's wonderful. And what you're going to do and the work that you have to do. You have to be at a certain place at a certain time. But does it ever enter your mind in the workplace, anywhere you are, that there is a gift of God that he wants to give life everlasting to everybody? But if they knew the gift of God, So the Lord places you in their pathway. Places me in another pathway. And these people do not know the gift of God. Here's a woman, a Samaritan woman, one woman. And this is the Son of God taking time out of his ministry to speak to one person. Amazing. If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, "Give me a drink," you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Fantastic statement by our Lord Jesus to a woman of Samaria, a Samaritan. She was saying, "You shouldn't really even be talking to me. We don't have any dealings." If you knew the gift of God, God has a gift. And he wants to give it to every person in the universe, in this world we live in. He's willing to give it. And who it is who says to you, "Give me a drink," if you only knew who I really am. We have to deal with people and bring them into relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But they don't know who he is. We go to a certain place on Saturdays, and we got to know the couple next to us. And one of the men that comes in is with the Apostolic Church, but he's gone. He's told me. He's fallen through the cracks. He swears and he lives his life. But he's been exposed to the gospel often. And this yesterday, the woman said, "Well, the Bible's just full of stories." Sometimes you don't get to grab onto those statements. But pray that next time we get together, I'll be able to say to her, "But listen, each author, especially in the Gospels, tells why they've written what they've written." I'm reading a book now about astronaut Hartfield, and he tells why he wrote his book. We don't schluff that off and say, "Well, that's not important." It's very important. John tells us why he wrote this book. "These things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and believing you might have life in his name." He tells us the reason why he wrote. Not just stories. Luke tells us why he wrote. We don't set that aside. Remember, I was speaking to a group of young people, skeptics. And I said, "These men didn't fabricate to impress you about what they knew or didn't know. They were writing historical accounts, and they said so." There's been a lot of doubt about these things over the last 25 years. But at least give them the benefit of the doubt. If you knew. You would have asked him. And he would have taken you into a whole new set of circumstances and life. Once you meet God the Father and his Son, the Lord Jesus, your life will change. Change. And it will be a life everlasting. He would have given you living water. Now, sometimes a bubbling brook with clear water is called living water. is bubbling. It's overflowing, effervescent. It expands. It's beautiful. It's lovely. It's satisfying. It refreshes. But Jesus is saying to this woman, I asked you for a drink of water to refresh my human body. But if you knew who I really am, you would have asked me and I would have given you living water. Now it always amazes me that our Lord Jesus will speak this way to a seemingly, just from the surface, an uneducated woman. That's not true, but it's just an ordinary Samaritan woman. And he's telling her things that are absolutely astonishing and profound. If you knew who I am, if you knew that. So what happens? The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water?" Now she catches something of what he's saying. And that's why in witnessing to people, wherever you're at, you have to continue the conversation. The thing about witnessing, you don't always win every argument. And sometimes you feel really upset about that. Someone has outthought you. And you say, "Oh, I missed the boat." But one thing about witnessing, you always stay close to the scriptures, not just your opinion, not just your reasoning. If you can, if you know the Word of God, you're going to try to say something, quote something from scripture that will stick in their minds, in their lives. They may forget your opinions or your point of view, but at least you have given them the solid truth of God's Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by not Bob Thrall's opinion, the Word of God. Now, you don't want to just quote Scripture, just a lot, you know a lot of Scripture, and you're going to quote the whole Bible. No, that's not the point. I can't figure this out," she says to him. She's still thinking of the water in the well. But where are you going to get this living, whatever that is, this living, where are you going to get it? She must be doing some thinking. It can't really be from the well. You have nothing to draw with. So what is all this? A lot of conversation in the early days was in metaphorical terms. The rabbis taught that way. When Jesus met Nicodemus, you have two rabbis speaking to each other, and a lot of what they're saying in that John 3 is metaphorical. So he doesn't hesitate to use metaphors with this woman. There is such a thing as living water. And it's not like the water in the well. So she's going to now start talking about her knowledge base. So this isn't going to be an ignorant woman coming out who doesn't know anything about the scriptures or about the religious life. A lot of things she's going to have to come out with. And so when we're dealing with people, we don't want to assume that they don't have knowledge. Let's face it, many people we meet are smarter than we are. But we want to be careful that we use the wisdom of the Lord in dealing with people around us. And we want to be careful that we love people as Christ loved us. Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his son and his livestock? I mean, I have a basis, and we have a basis, and we believe in Jacob, and they both believed in Jacob, and Jacob was a great man. And he was satisfied with this well, and the water we get out of this well, it was good enough for Jacob, and he's a patriarch, and we esteem him highly, and he's this and that, and people go on in their thinking, and she's going on in their thinking. Well, are you greater? Are you telling me you're greater than Jacob? All right. Let's be more direct. You know, oftentimes, even in dealing with his disciples, the Lord Jesus would say something. He'd want them to get it without having to explain it. And that's to expand your mind and your understanding and your life. But so often, we too, we look at the scriptures and God is trying to speak to us and we just don't get it. The Ethiopian, he didn't get it. He didn't know, was Isaiah talking about himself or somebody else? How can I learn unless somebody helps me? That's good. Maybe you need help, but not all the time. You don't need Bible experts to always be giving you the information that you should be arriving at yourself. Sometimes there are difficult things. There's a dear brother here, I don't know if he's here today, but he loves to come and ask me questions. And that's good. I'm the answer man. But there's a time in our lives as believers where we need to listen to the voice of God through his word and be able to understand it for ourselves. To both, sometimes we need the help. We need ministry. We need someone to bring it to light. All right, whoever drinks of this water. Now, there are no gestures in Scripture, but this is a... The woman knew what he meant. There's been no water anywhere yet. The woman's come with her pot empty. The Lord Jesus hasn't done anything. So I would like to think, now I don't want to go too far here, but Jesus is sitting on the well and he sort of looks into the well, to the well where the water is. Whoever drinks of this water, will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water, springing up into everlasting life. Now, I've been amazed as I've read this story many times, and you've read it many times, that the Lord Jesus would make this revelation to a sinful woman, a Samaritan. It's one of the finest statements I can imagine concerning what happens to someone who comes to know Jesus Christ personally. There's a never-ending joy, expression, creativity, beauty, honor, glory, love. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. That's why it's living water. There'll never be a day where you'll feel unwanted. worthless because you're loved of God. You become part of the family of God. And in that family of God, there's expression. There's worship. That's why it's so good to be together with the people of God. It's so good to be here today. So good to break bread with those who love the Lord Jesus. There's a welling up. But the water that I give him will become in him a fountain of water. Well, you might not feel that way. This fountain of water that we have received, this new life that's building up, the inner man is growing day by day, the outer man is decaying. But that water of life within us prepares us for many of the difficulties of being human. Issues we have to face. Problems we have to face. Physical. Mental. We've found this new life in Christ. And he's saying to this woman, there is a physical life, but that physical life and its needs does not compare to the water of life within the soul that becomes a fountain of life, springing up into eternal terms. Now we all have to bear with this life. It has its downs and ups and sadnesses and disappointments and terrors. But we are part of his life. We are part of the life of Christ, the one who died and was buried and rose again the third day. There is a resurrection life. There's a life of eternity with God forever. And those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for your sins, receive this newness of life. And that's the hope of the believer. The Lord Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us, that where he is, there we shall be also. The thief on the cross, Jesus said, today you shall be with me in a different life, in a different setting, in paradise. Now, I imagine this story. Here this woman comes out to get a day's full of water in her pot. She meets the most important person that ever lived. He loves her. God so loved the world. And he brings her face to face with the most important truth any of us can hear. The one who asks for water is the one who gives the water of life, who gives joy and peace through believing, who gives the forgiveness of sins, who gives a right standing with God, makes us righteous. And he's saying this all to this woman who came to draw water from a well called Jacob's Well. What we want to hear from our friends, I was dealing with a student, maybe I told you this story, at the University of Wisconsin. I was talking to him about everlasting life in Christ Jesus the Lord. who died for his sins. He was from a fraternity. And they did that. They had their beer nights and they got drunk and they had their women and the co-eds and they had whatever they wanted. He looked me in the eye and he said, "I know what you're saying to me. But I can't give up that life of pleasure that I know." And we never spoke to him. I never saw him again. What does the woman say? She didn't get it all straight at first. She still was a little confused. "Sir, give me this water." Now her understanding didn't develop as quickly, but she made the first step. "Give me this water, that I may not thirst nor come here to draw." Maybe, I'm just saying, maybe she captured more than we had realized. Maybe she stayed in the metaphors, figures of speech. Maybe she did grasp. This is salvation. Now something else has to be brought up, and we'll continue this message this evening, or this after we have our meal. We can talk to people, tell them about the love of God, but what they don't want to hear, and what this woman needed to understand, is sin drives us away from God. There is sin in the world. There is sin in our lives. Christ died for our sins. Oh, we want to talk about intellectual things and talk about the wonders of God and the beauties and all the gay and a lot of these things. I didn't use gay in the wrong sense. I meant that in the good sense. There's something that needed to be dealt with to help this woman realize that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful for the Word of God. We are grateful for your love and a loving Savior. We're so thankful, Lord Jesus, that you want to communicate with us. You want to have communion with us as well. We thank you for the stories of Scripture, the historical, accurate stories. And help us to react in a sense of awe and appreciation. Open our hearts. Open our minds. Open our souls. We ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.